Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. That's right in the middle of your Bible. Okay, when you have it, you look up so I know that you have it. Psalm 139. This is a Psalm of David. It says that in the title. And we know the stories about David in the Old Testament. How many know the story of David and Goliath? It's maybe one of the first or most memorable Sunday school stories that we have. Only a boy named David. He could pray and sing. Only a boy named David. Five little stones he took. Now see, I'm forgetting my Sunday school songs. That's bad. Maybe you could help me. But David had a real experience with God. I think if there was a man in the Old Testament that we could look to and say he knew God, he walked with God, I think David was one of them. He had what some have called a New Testament experience. He seemed to know about the forgiveness of sin and how precious it was to have his sins forgiven and washed clean before God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, he prayed. Renew a right spirit within me. Good prayers to pray. He desired to be in God's presence. Time and time again you find him desiring to be where the ark of God was. He brought the ark to Jerusalem and set it in a tent, and he'd go and sit before that tent and just sit in God's presence, because he had learned to love the presence and the person of God. I just want to read this psalm together with you. I'll read, you follow along. I'm sure we have different translations, and tonight I'll read in the NIV. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Now, there's two ways you can view that. You can step back and say, wow, that makes me afraid, because God knows everything about me. And he knows all the bad things I think even before I think them and say them. And you could get a little bit afraid of God. And I think my mom at times, if some of you remember Sister Martha, she endeavored to put the fear of God in us. There's an eye watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. You know, and I thought, oh boy, I better not do anything wrong. There's an all-seeing eye watching me. And I guess that's a good thought. We ought to have a measure and more of the fear of God. But there's another side to that. When I look at these verses and it says, God, you search me and you know me, you know all about me, you know where I sit down, you know where I get up, you know where I live, you know my address, you know everything about me. Someone has said God's love is so big that he knows everything about us and he still loves us. Yes, he knows that we mess up. Yes, he knows that at times we fail. But in spite of that knowledge, he loves us anyway. We heard this morning, was it unrestrained love? There's no boundaries to the love of God. It's not even that God is a loving God. The Bible says that God is love. It's the essence of his being. He just outshines love. He's love. And he loves you. Let's say that verse together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved you and me that he gave his Son. This God, who knows all about us, loves us. You hem me in before and behind. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Again, it's all how you perceive it. How do you look at this? But here I see a God that I cannot go anywhere that He is not. Do you understand that? Isn't that what the psalmist is saying? There's nowhere that you can go in this world, up in the atmosphere. If you even went to the moon, God would be there. Wherever you go, God is there. You cannot flee, escape His presence. And that's a wonderful thing. Because as our sister Marie prayed, He's promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, so that no matter where I am, no matter what situation I find myself in, God, You are present. You are there. You're watching over me. It says, You hold me, what's the word? Fast, secure. Secure, that comes from a word to fasten something, right? You make it secure. God is holding me secure in His mighty arms. It's a wonderful place to be. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the night and the light, excuse me, become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. I think sometimes we find ourselves in situations in life where maybe we're a little bit discouraged. I trust that you young people, you don't have that problem. But unfortunately, it's true that even a young person can be discouraged and can be, as it were, in darkness, not knowing the way to go, not seeing any light of hope. And yet God says, the psalmist says, that God, in the midst of that darkness, He makes it light. Why? It's the light of His presence. It's the light that shines forth from His Word. Have you learned to love God's Word in these days? Have you read the Bible every morning? Mm-hmm. Yes? Yes? Are you going to do that when you get home? Yes? Okay, all together now. Yes. Ready? Yes. Yes. No, that wasn't good. Yes. 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 By God's grace, we're going to open God's Word and let this light, Thy Word is a lamp unto me, on my feet and a light to my path. You, Lord, lighten my darkness. Yes. When you're discouraged, maybe when you're tempted to give up, maybe you say, well, you know what, everybody else is not following God. Everybody's just kind of doing whatever they want. And my mom and my dad, they make me go to church. And they make me... You ever feel like that? Well, you know what, I won't tell you about me. I'll save a story for later. Well, here's another part that's so wonderful. It says this, for You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. Now just think about that. What is he talking about here? He's talking about the fact that it's God who watched over you even in your mother's womb before you were thought of. God thought of you. And He put you together. He knit you together. You know, if you study about the miracle of a baby. Now all of us were babies. Did you know that? All of us have been fearfully and wonderfully made. How does it happen? I don't know. God does it. It's a God thing. He puts us together. And you look around and every one of us is just a little bit different, right? We're not the same. But who put us together? Who made you? God did. God did. And it says even beyond that, it says, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me to live upon this earth were written in your book. Now, that to me just is beyond my understanding. How can that be? Do you know what tomorrow is going to bring? Do you know what next year is going to bring? Do you know if next year you'll be back at Pilgrim Camp? Do you know that? You don't really know that. You can't be 100% sure of that. But it says that God knows. And just stay with me, kids, because I'm almost done. All right? Just stay with me. Listen. The wonderful thing about this is when we look out and we look at one another, we should be able to say, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. You are not insignificant in God's eyes. He made you, and all your days are written, not in just some book. It's not just some filed in some big server in Google land or somewhere. It's written in His book. Your days, my days, are written in His book. It goes on to say this: how precious are your thoughts, O God? How precious to me are your thoughts, O God? How vast is the sum of them? Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Now just think about that. God is thinking about each one of you tonight. God is thinking about each one of you. He knows all about you. He loves you. He has a plan over your life. Your days are written in His book. God is thinking about each one of you. He loves you. He made you. And He wants you to open your heart to Him so that He can fulfill His purpose. The purpose why He made you and created you. He wants to fulfill that. Do you understand that?
Now, I said I was going to tell you a story, right?
And it goes along with this thought that God is thinking about you and me, and He knows all about us. When I was, now if you've heard my testimony before, you don't have to listen. All right, anybody heard my testimony before about how I was saved? Brother Paul, you don't have to listen. Brother Dan doesn't have to listen. But I was saved here when I was at camp. I was 6 years old. It was my first time in the cottage. Do you still say cottage cheese? You call them cottage cheese? No? Well, they used to call us cottage cheese then. I was one of the cottage cheese. And it was in a meeting here on a Sunday morning, in this room. On Sunday mornings, we didn't go down to the village. The village came here, just like you came to us this morning, or this night. And the head counselor in the village, he gave an invitation. I don't remember what his story was. I don't know what the sermon was about. All I know that is at the end of his sermon, he gave an invitation for those who wanted to open their hearts to the Lord, to ask Him to forgive their sins, that we should come up to the front. And I think there were maybe six of us that stood out that morning. And I was one of them, 6 years old. And after that service, he took us into the library. And he found a book in there, you know, one of those wordless books. You know what they are?
Yeah.
Where the different pages are a different color.
Yeah.
And he explained to us what it meant to give our hearts to Jesus. And then later on during that, at that time at camp, Sister Caroline Gardner, her picture is on the wall. She was the wife of the first director or co-director here at camp from the beginning. And she brought a big black Bible down to the cottage. And she said, if any one of you have accepted Jesus as your Savior while you've been here at camp, I want you to come up and write your name in this Bible. And there was a white blank page, and we wrote our name. And you can go into the library, you can find that Bible, and you can find my name. And it was to symbol, it was to illustrate that our names were written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now that was my salvation experience. And as some have said, I got saved again at Ridgewood when I was 8. But that's another story. But then there was something else that God did for me here at camp that reminds me when I read these verses that God is thinking about me and He knows everything about me. We used to have retreats in the wintertime. Now in the wintertime, there's no swimming at camp. It's cold. It's really, really cold, like zero. And there's snow. And I remember coming here to camp, and I think it took us like 8 hours because there was a snowstorm on the way up. Or, you know, it was pretty bad snow. Brother Kenny Ott was driving, and he drove through, and we got here late that night. But that retreat was something I'll never forget. And the Lord reminded me of it very, very recently. What happened was I was in high school, or I think just starting high school, and I was born and raised in a Christian home, and not only that, but my parents were pastors, preachers, my mom and dad, Williamsburg Pentecostal Church. And so I knew everything I was supposed to do. Now remember, I had given my heart to Jesus when I was 6 years old, again at 8 years old. And I always was a good boy. Nobody laughed. That's good. All right, good. I always was a good boy. At least I thought I was. My parents thought I was, I guess. But you know, as I grew older, as I became a teenager, there were things that I allowed in my heart that were not pleasing to the Lord. And I wasn't following the Lord as closely as I knew I should. Oh, I was still going to church. Nobody probably knew that anything was wrong. Oh, Philip, he's a good boy. That's Brother Gordon's son. We were in a meeting in that room right there in the prayer room. That's where we met in the wintertime. And it was an afternoon meeting. And I don't know what took place in that meeting, but near the end of that meeting, Brother Gordon Gardner said this: "There's someone in this room who is not following the Lord as closely as they should, and I want them to come here to the front." Do you think I went to the front? Nope. 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 I didn't move. And you ever feel that when you know that God is speaking to you? You ever feel that conviction in your heart? You know that God is speaking to you, but something holds you back. And so I sat there. And then another young man got up and went to the front. I said, "Praise the Lord." So that's the end of the story, right? No, it's not. No, it's not. But thank God it's not the end of the story. You see, because God knew my heart, right? He was thinking about me. I'm sure He was thinking about all the others that were gathered at that retreat. But I know that He was thinking about me. Because Brother Gordon said, "There's someone else who needs to come forward." That time, the second time, I got up and I went forward. And when I did that, they prayed for me. Brother Gordon prayed for me. The other men that were there prayed for me. The boys that were gathered, they prayed for me. And the Spirit of God just came down upon me and just did something in me and cleansed me. And I remember how it just lingered, that sense of God's presence, it just lingered. I remember going into the shower, and in the shower just feeling, you know, as that water's running, I just felt God was just keeping cleansing me and cleansing me on the inside. And it wanted to stop. afterwards, I had a chance to talk to Brother Gordner. He talked to me, and he said, "The Lord told me it was you." The Lord was thinking about me. And I relay that story because I truly believe that God has His hand upon each one of you. We believe that God brings you to this camp. You're not here because your parents sent you or your church sent you. We believe that it's in God's plan that every one of you are here. And we also believe and we have faith that as you come, God will meet you. That somehow you'll leave this place with a sense that God has touched my life, that I've heard God speak to me, that I've heard the call of God, that He has laid His hand upon me because He loves me. And He wants me to live for Him and to love Him all my days. And so this psalm ends with just these verses. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of life everlasting." Lead me in that way, dear God, that you have ordained for me to walk, as I find it in your word. Search me, O God. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And so for all of us here tonight, I just want to leave that with you, that there's a God who has a loving plan over your life, and He is thinking about you. He's thinking about you right now, tonight. He has good thoughts toward you. "I know the plans," God says, "I have for you. I know the thoughts I think about you. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." My ways are the ways of life. Blessed are those who walk therein. And so may God help us to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I yield myself to you. I give myself over to you." Maybe God has been tugging at your heart in these days. Maybe in a bunk devotion, maybe in a morning worship, maybe in an evening prayer meeting. Maybe God has been speaking to you and calling you. I trust that you've responded and said, "Yes. Yes, Lord, I want to give myself fully to you." I've never regretted maybe being a little bit embarrassed as a pastor's son to have to go up and say, "Yes, I'm not following Jesus as closely as I should." I've never regretted that, because the blessing that resulted from that small step of obedience and humbling myself was for eternity. God worked something in my soul that day. And I don't know if He would have called again. I don't know. Maybe He would have let me go on my own way. I don't know that. But I'm so thankful that that day He looked down from heaven and said, "Philip, you need to be right with me." Maybe tonight God is saying to you, "You need to be right with me. You need to give yourself over to me fully, completely. Allow me to have my way in your life. Allow me to fulfill my plan. Surrender your all to me."